I actually had the privilege of growing up in a Christian family. My parents were very strong Christians, but with their Christianity, they were very strict in the way they raised us as children. I was raised in a very strict environment. I did not go to movies. I did not go to dances. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff as I was growing up. It was a very unworldly environment that I was raised in. At the time, I did not appreciate that very much. It caused a lot of rejection in my life. But as I look back now, I really appreciate the upbringing that I have. I appreciate the environment of holiness that my parents reared me in. But at the time, as I went to school, and there weren't a lot of Christian schools back in that day. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. And Christian school was never even an option, so I went to public school. And I found out that people are genuinely very mean. And so I grew up in an environment where it seemed like I was always the outcast. I was always on the outside looking in and experiencing rejection. And so I came to believe that rejection was simply a part of life. And I grew up in that, never knowing any difference. And as a result, I developed what I would call a rejection complex. And I believe that maybe many of us here today have developed that same type of a complex as we were growing up. Let's just look at this first interactive question and take a moment to read this. How many of you have been plagued by a rejection complex? A, in the past, I have suffered severely from rejection. Letter B, I have in the past and I still deal with it on a regular basis. And then letter C, I have been rejected from time to time, but it's no big deal. And then letter D, I've never been rejected for anything. If that's you today, we want you to stand up and we'll reject you right now. Just so you know what it feels like. But let's go ahead and vote. When the sign comes up, go ahead and vote, and we'll see where we're at on this. Well, there's 3% of you that have never been rejected. That's a wonderful thing. Sometime in life, it's going to happen to you, whether you like it or not, especially if you're serving God. It will happen, because the Bible promises it will happen. But there's 27% of you that said in the past, I have suffered severely from rejection. And then there's 33% of you who said, I have in the past, and I still deal with it on a regular basis. And so, you know, it isn't just by happenstance that we decided to minister on this theme. We realize that it's a real issue among people today. And so hopefully we're going to give you some hope today, and we have been giving you some hope in the past few weeks on how you can handle the rejection in your life. And then there's 37% who said, I've been rejected from time to time, but it's no big deal. That's a good place to be, where you just begin to let it flow right off of you. And then 3% who have never been rejected. Well, as I said, I grew up in a Christian family, but following high school, I decided I wanted to do something a little bit different. I joined the Army. I basically joined the Army. One of the reasons was just to get away from home, get out from under my parents' covering, where I could experience some new liberty. And then I ended up going to Vietnam very early in my Army career, right out of basic AIT, I went to Vietnam. And while in Vietnam, actually, when I was in high school, I was a pretty good kid. I didn't cause my parents a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. I pretty much played by the rules. But after getting into the Army and feeling that sense of freedom, I began to experiment a little bit. In fact, I began to experiment a whole lot. I fell in with the hippies. I became really a card-carrying hippie. I was smoking pot all the time, dropping LSD, and even using heroin from time to time. Drugs for the next several years were a part of my life. That whole hippie environment was a part of my life. And one of the things that really attracted me to that was that for the first time in my life, I felt like I was being received. I felt like I was being accepted. Only to find out eventually that it was just a big illusion. That it was an illusion. It wasn't true. And in 1974, that's 30 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I said, I got to the point where I had had enough. I was sick of the world. The world really doesn't hold much of an allure to me today. I've had my fill of it. I've seen what Satan does to the lives of people everywhere. I've seen the destruction. I've seen how people's lives are literally destroyed because of the influences of the enemy. And I saw how my life was being destroyed, how it was going downhill, how it wasn't producing anything. There was no positive thing that was coming out of my life because of the lifestyle that I was living. And so I knew what to do. Having been raised in a Christian family, I knew what to do. I knew that I needed to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in March 1974, I did that, and I've never looked back. I've never looked back. I quit drugs immediately. I quit everything that I was doing that had a negative influence on my life and began to serve God with all of my heart. I put my heart, my soul, and my mind. In fact, what happened to me was that by the time I came to the Lord, I was so far gone. I had lost touch with reality. I didn't even know what reality was. And Jesus became my reality. He became the reality that I now walked in. And so, in 1974, I began the journey of being fulfilled in Christ by being the person that He created me to be. There's no greater fulfillment in life than just living out the person that Jesus Christ has created us to be. In Him is the fullness of life. In Him, the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, are pleasures forevermore. All the pleasures we could ever want are found in Jesus Christ. They're found in the reality that is in Jesus Christ. All the acceptance that we could ever want is found in Jesus Christ. And I have found that to be true in my life. And I walk in that today. And so in this message today, we're going to find out how the rejection complex holds us back in our lives. See, I believe that the rejection complex holds us back from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Many of us have been stumbled by it, and we're wanting and we're desiring to do God's will. We want to fulfill His purpose. We want to find our destiny. We want to be involved in what He has for our life, but we still have these past issues that we have to deal with, and we're allowing everything that God wants to do in the present and the future to be filtered through the past, through that rejection complex. And I believe that God wants to destroy the rejection complex in our lives today. And I encourage you right now to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts, to invite the Holy Spirit to direct you, to have His way today as you hear the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say concerning rejection. And so we're going to be looking at how we can overcome it. What do we do? How do we get out of this trap? How do we get out of this complex? What can I do? What's in God's Word that's going to help me to be an overcomer? Amen? How many want to be overcomers today? I believe all of us, it's an innate desire that we have to be an overcomer. And I want to share with you from the Word of God how you can take the Word and apply it to your lives and begin to walk as an overcomer in this area of rejection. We're going to begin to look at a couple of examples from the life of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 3, that He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. That's a prophetic passage of Scripture concerning Jesus Christ. Looking at that passage of Scripture, it says very clearly that Jesus came to understand and know what rejection was all about. I believe Jesus was rejected more than any of us will ever be able to imagine or fathom. The title of my message today is Recovering from Rejection by Overcoming the Rejection Complex. The first example we're going to look at today is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Then he, Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" You can almost begin to hear the jealousy that's coming out of their voices. Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get these mighty works? He grew up in the same town we did, didn't he? And what wisdom is this which was given to him, that such mighty works were performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended. They were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then I like this. He just carried on. He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He didn't allow the rejection to hinder him. He didn't allow the rejection to hinder who he was and what his mission in life was. But why did these people reject Jesus? Why did they reject him? I believe, number one, it was because of familiarity. They realized that Jesus came from the same common heritage with an ordinary family and a humble occupation. Who is he? Who does he think he is? He comes from the same place that we come from. They rejected him because of their familiarity with him. It was a fullness of the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And then number two, why did they reject him? I believe it was because of guilt. If the people really believed that someone just like them could make God known and perform acts of divine mercy and compassion, works of healing and restoration, they too would be guilty, indicted by their own belief. They would be guilty of not living up to their own potential. Here's Jesus coming from the same hometown, same influences that they were all under, living up to his potential, becoming somebody. And so now they are guilt-ridden because of that. Guilty of not being aware. Guilty of being complacent. And out of touch with God and his people in tangible ways. It made them look inferior and complacent and guilty. Therefore, what could they do? Reject the offender. That's what they did. They rejected him. They got offended at him. Reject the offender and no offense can be taken. No guilt can be taken. By rejecting him, they could remain free, unchanged, liberated to stay the same, unmoved and unchallenged. They didn't want to be challenged. They didn't want to be changed. They didn't want to be moved. And I trust the reason we're here today is because we want to be challenged, amen? We want to change. We want to be moved. And so we're already on the step to recovery, amen? You're already there. You being here today is a step in the right direction. It's a step in the direction to receiving total healing from the rejection complex. In this brief encounter, Jesus was faced with a fear that plagues most of humanity. A fear that many of us allow to dictate the choices in our life. Our choices of schools, choices of occupation, marital partners, leisure activity, etc. I mean, think about this. The choices that we're making in life, are they being dictated to us from a kingdom influence, or are they being dictated to us from the influences of our past? That's why it's so important that we learn to walk in victory, that we learn to overcome, so that we can make right choices, that we can make choices that are kingdom choices, that will bring us into a greater understanding and awareness of who we are in God. What is the rejection complex? It's a fear of not receiving approval. The fear of not being accepted is a motivating factor for so many decisions in life, even the ordinary day-to-day things that we do. Rejection produces a number of emotions in us. How many found that to be true? It produces strong emotions in us. The feeling of inferiority. I grew up with an inferiority complex because of the rejection that I experienced as a child. And today, even though I've been healed of that inferiority complex, I still have to deal with the feelings that I dealt with way back when. But praise God, I've learned how to deal with those feelings. It's not that the feelings ever necessarily go away. We just learn how to deal with them in a constructive way. We learn how to apply the Word of God to those negative feelings rather than just allowing our emotions and our feelings to drive us to wherever. See, we take control. We take control over our lives. We take control over our emotions, so that we can live productive life. And here's what happens. The more we take control over something, the more we apply God's Word to an area of our life, it becomes a new habit pattern. It becomes a part of the new nature, of the new person that we are in Christ, so that when we get into that circumstance that before produced inferiority or whatever, we just automatically do the right thing because we have been practicing it. That's the way it works. There are no simple solutions. It's working these things out in our lives. It's girding up the loins of our mind. Amen? That's what it is. It's making straight paths for our feet. It produces in us also the feeling of being unaccepted. How many have ever felt unaccepted? Most everybody here has felt unaccepted at times. And you may still feel unaccepted at times, but hopefully you're going to learn how to deal with that emotion and that feeling. Or the feeling of doing something wrong or giving the wrong impression. Now the sad thing is that we make life decisions based on these feelings. We make life decisions based on these emotions, and then we wonder why we end up the way we are. We wonder, how did I get here? What did I do? Well, you just trace it back a few steps, and you can see that you made a decision based upon an emotion that wasn't according to God's Word. And so, okay, the beautiful thing is that God has a way of making straight the crooked paths in our life. Now, that scripture gives me a lot of hope. It gives me a lot of faith, because now that I'm applying God's Word, now that I'm applying the wisdom, the revelation, the understanding that He is giving me as a new creation in Jesus Christ, He's going to begin to straighten out those crooked paths that I have sown in my life by my poor decisions. The irony of Jesus' response to rejection is that He did not face it with fear, but with amazement. He was astounded at their unbelief. He was astounded at their reaction. He did not even deny the rejection. He did not try to prove himself by performing a special miracle. How many know that Jesus could have done something on a grand scale just to make a point of how great he was? But he chose not to do that. He simply acknowledged the rejection with a note of amazement. Then he picked up where he left off. He went about the villages preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next interactive question. How do you handle rejection? Letter A, I go out of my way to impress or convince. Now, if you think about this, if you think about what your personality profile is, you'll fall into one of these categories. I retreat or I withdraw with my tail behind my legs, between my legs. That's what I was. I was a retreater. I was a withdrawal. By the time I came to the Lord, I was so deep into withdrawing from everything around me that I was such a loner. I was so lonely because I had withdrawn because I just didn't want to face it anymore. I was tired of the rejection. I was sick of it. And so I had withdrawn so much that I was just a walking zombie. That's really all I was, a walking zombie. With no purpose, no destination, only to find that Jesus is real and that he is a healer. Some of you lash out in anger. And then, of course, there's some of you who have learned to handle it in a very positive way. Think about where you're at there and vote when the vote now sign comes. ''22% of you go out of your way to impress or convince. I would venture to say the 22% are probably sanguines and partially cholerics. 20% of you retreat or withdraw. You're like me. You're a retreater. You withdraw with your tail between your legs. And then there's 22% that lash out in anger. Isn't that amazing? 22%, 20%, and 20% respond in negative ways. Hopefully, we can begin to move everybody into this last category where there's 35% of you already doing it right. 35% of you handling it in a very positive way. You see, if we choose any of the first three in the above, rejection wins. The status quo remains the same. Things remain the same, unchanged, unchallenged. And we stay stuck in a rejection complex. So why do we need to get out of the rejection complex? You say, well, I like it here. I've grown used to this. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my persona. I like the person that I am. I like feeling sorry for myself. I enjoy the rejection complex. Well, let me tell you something. You need to get over it. You really do. If you're going to be successful in God, if you're going to walk as a mature Christian, if you're going to be an overcomer in life, if you're going to fulfill your destiny in life, the purpose that God has already mapped out for you, you need to learn how to overcome the rejection complex. Look at Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the part that pertains to this message. In verse 20 it says, "But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." There's the reason right there. Looking at the next slide, why do I need to overcome the rejection complex? Number one, the seed of God's word will not take root. You see, in order for you to grow In order for you to be who God has called you to be, that seed has to grow. It has to be planted. And I believe today in Christendom, the seed is not getting planted. The seed is not being birthed into good soil. It's just going down to a certain layer. Now think about how many have been Christians for 20 years or more? A good number of you. How many in your path in life have seen casualties all along the way? Almost as many as raised their hands have seen people stumble and not get back up. That's why we need to overcome the rejection complex, because unless we do, we will stumble and fall away. It's the next point. You will eventually stumble and fall away. You see, my prayer today is that you will never stumble. You will never fall away. Now, you can take this however you want. But I decided a long time ago, in 1975, when I was in Bible college, I was working at a job with somebody else, and we were putting bicycles together. And I said to him, "Where do you think you're going to be in the next few years?" And he says to me, "I don't even know if I'm going to be serving the Lord." And I said, "What?" I mean, it really took me back, because I'd never considered not serving the Lord. I never considered backsliding. I've never allowed that thought to be entertained in my mind. I made a resolve a long time ago that I would not be a casualty in God's kingdom. And that's why I'm still standing here preaching to you 30 years after making that decision. I believe that. Does that mean that difficulties haven't come along the way, that trials have not come, that seasons in my life have not come that have enticed me to walk away? No. They've been there just like they've been in everybody else's lives. But I believe because of that resolve, because of allowing Jesus Christ to heal me in this area, that I'm still standing here today. I'm still alive and kicking. And I've been through some stuff. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you see, the truth is that as Christians, we will be rejected. We need to learn how to handle rejection, because rejection is going to come no matter what. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution." Now, after reading that, how many want to raise their hands and say, "I want to live godly in Jesus Christ"? Amen. Well, guess what? Rejection is coming. It's coming. It's the same kind of rejection that Jesus experienced. And so I need to know how to handle it. Because what will happen if I haven't properly dealt with the rejection complex of my past, I won't be equipped to deal with the rejection that's going to come in the here and the now and tomorrow. I'll keep making the same mistakes. I'll keep wearing that rejection complex. And everything remains the same. Is that what I want? Is that what God wants for our lives? I don't think so. God saw something better when He looked at us, didn't He? He saw something beautiful. You know what God said? He said, "I saw the finished work." One of my favorite scriptures is this. It's found in Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know what that says to me? That says God is not going to give up on me. He's going to keep on working. He's going to keep on doing His thing in my life. And that scripture applies to each and every one of you here today. You can have confidence, it says, because God is not finished with you, and He's not going to leave His piece of artwork unfinished. He's going to complete what He began. You know why He's going to complete what He began? Because He only sees you as that completed work. He doesn't see you in all the stages that we go through. I mean, he probably glimpses it or whatever, but he sees us as that finished work. And he continues to work from that vision that he sees of you in your finished state. And the Bible says, that gives me confidence. And that's why I have confidence to say that I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm going to keep on doing the will of God. I'm going to keep on doing the purpose of God because I know He's involved in my life. You see, no one ever plans to backslide. How many, don't raise your hands, but we don't want to know. We really don't want to know. But I would venture to say most people have backslidden at one time or another in their life. Did you make plans to do that? I don't think so. Most people don't plan on backsliding. You see, it happens over a period of time by not responding to life properly. That's how you sow a little here, a little there. And one day you wake up deceived. It just begins to happen. You see, I tell them, I am scared to death of backsliding. I know it's not the end of me when I start out, but this I do know, that once I begin that backsliding process, that I have opened the door for deception. And once that door of deception gets open, Satan comes in with all of his arsenal. And he begins to deceive and tear down and destroy until you are just totally left in this place where you're ready to disown Christ. That's a terrible place to be. I'm afraid to tempt God and ever go to that place. And so I want to deal with the rejection complex in my life. Amen? So I'm not ever tempted to get there. And so now that we understand the problem of rejection and the threat that it represents to our life, to our walk with the Lord, let's move on now to how we can overcome it. The second example here is taken from Luke chapter 9 and verse 52, where Jesus is walking with his disciples. He's on a journey to Jerusalem. And he walks past a Samaritan village. And it says, as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Quickly, I have to move. We're losing time. Number one, how do we overcome the spirit of rejection? Know who you are and what you have in Christ. You see, Jesus knew where he was going. He knew who he was. He knew everything there was to know about the person that God had made him to be. You see, sometimes we get this lofty idea of who Jesus is, and that's good. But the simple fact of the matter remains is that Jesus was human at that time. He never ceased to be God. He was still God. But he stripped himself of all of his divine attributes and was dependent upon the Holy Spirit working in his life just like you and I are. He knew who he was. The disciples, on the other hand, had no idea who they were. Jesus says, you don't even know what spirit you are of. And they were ready to command fire to come down from heaven. They were ready to invoke that anger. Amen? An angry response. They were in the rejection complex in a severe way. Let me ask you this question. Do you know who you are in Christ and what you have? Go ahead and vote now. Of you know who you are. You're on the way. You're on the way. See, but now we have to take that next step. We have to get what we know up here into what we're walking down here. Amen? We have to get it into our heart. We have to get it from here to here and begin to walk in it. 8% of you are still very unclear as to what's going on. I'm going to help you now. This is who you are and what you have in Christ. In Philemon 1:6, it says, acknowledge every good thing that is in you through Jesus Christ. We need to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. Number one, you are a child of God. You are one of His favorites. Amen? You have been born into the kingdom. You are part of His family. You are His adopted son. You are His favorite. That should produce something in you that just wipes away all of the rejection of the past. Number two, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You know, you're not just one of His favorites. You're seated with Him. That means you're seeing things from His perspective. He's sharing all that He has with you. He's sitting right alongside you. And thirdly, you have inherited all things in Him. He's been given everything. And now we are His co-inheritors. And then next, you are more than a conqueror in Him. You have the Holy Spirit of God with you. We have the Holy Spirit in us, God in us. Just as Jesus had God in Him, we have a measure of God in us. You see, Jesus had the full measure. We have a measure of Him in us. You have the kingdom of God within you. You have the mind of Christ. You are partakers of the divine nature. And you always triumph in Christ. You see, this is the seed of God's Word that our decisions in life need to be made from. We need to make decisions out of who we are in Christ, out of what He has done for us. And that is what is going to make the crooked paths straight. You see, the seed of God's Word is what He wants to get engrafted into our hearts. It will replace the rejection complex. If you begin to believe and walk in all that you are in Christ, there is no room for the rejection complex. And the next point is this. How to overcome? Be consumed with your destiny and your purpose in life. Jesus' face was set as flint towards Jerusalem. He was consumed with His mission in life, with His purpose in life. He was so consumed in that, that when rejection came, it just went off His back like a water off a duck. It's the way it works. Jesus was totally consumed with His mission and His purpose. His face was set as flint, even though He knew He was headed into unpleasant waters. He was firmly fixed on His mission in life. He saw things through a different paradigm. I want to close with this illustration. Even though I suffered from a rejection complex in my youth, I do not ever remember going through a major time of healing in it. You know why? Because I was consumed with God's purpose. I was consumed with God's destiny for my life. I was so consumed with it that I just entered in and got into the river and began to flow in the river. And in that river was healing and everything else that just began to wash my soul. And I didn't even have to think about it because I didn't have time to think about it. I didn't waste my time. You see, I believe today, and I'm going to say this, there are too many navel gazers in the kingdom of God. Navel gazing will not get you healed. Focusing and refocusing and dwelling on your problems and dwelling on those situations will not get you healed. What is going to get you healed is when you begin to get in the river and flow with your destiny and purpose in life. To illustrate this, I had something that happened to me in the early 80s that tested my healing. I had just been ordained as an associate pastor in the church that I was attending. And shortly after being ordained, somebody else came into the church, had been around our fellowship of churches for a number of years, been in ministry positions. And I remember one day my pastor coming to me, and in so many words saying, guess what? You're out. And he's in. Now, I could have gotten rejected over that. In fact, I was devastated for about 2 hours. And my wife can testify to this. But God began to remind me of who I was in Him. He began to remind me of my purpose in life. And you know what I did? I began to continue to serve that pastor with all of my heart. I began to serve his vision with all of my heart. I didn't miss a beat. And as things turned out, some unfortunate things happened in his life. And within a few months, I was the senior pastor of that church. But this is what I want to share with you. Had I given in to the complex, to the rejection complex at that moment, and it had wallowed in it and got offended at it, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't have pastored that church for 12 years. It would never have happened. I would have missed God's purpose and destiny for my life. I would have missed it. Where would have I been? I don't know. The Bible says a root of bitterness will spring up and cause many to fall away and be defiled. That's not what we want. And so what I want to ask you today is, what have you missed because of the rejection in your life? What have you missed? You see, it's not too late to get healed. It's not too late to move forward, because God delights in making the crooked paths straight. You see, the unchanging truth is this, is that you are unconditionally loved, totally accepted, and complete in Christ. Only God can meet all of your needs. He is your sufficiency in every situation. You and I belong to God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We hold a valued place in the family of God that no one can take away. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. If you desire to destroy the rejection complex and pursue God with all of your heart and be consumed with His purpose and calling for your life, I want you to stand right now and just acknowledge that. Just stand. We don't have time for a long altar call, but I want you to stand, and I'm just going to pray for you and believe that God is doing something great in your lives today. Amen. Father, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are on the throne. God, that You have given us victory, that You have made us more than overcomers, Lord God, that You always lead us in triumph, Lord. God, that You are willing to destroy the strongholds in our life, the things that will hold us back from pursuing You wholeheartedly. And I just pray for each and every person here today, Lord God, that is here, and those that are listening by CD or tape, God, that You would destroy this rejection complex in their lives, Lord God, and replace it with Your purpose, with Your will, God, with who we are in You and what we have in You. We thank You, God, for Your word today. Let it accomplish Your purpose in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.